try to get you out the friend zone.
Okay.
Cause you look even better than before.
What's going on, everybody?
I send me the info. Driving through the gated residential. Found out I was coming, sent your
friend zone. What's going on, everybody? I see y'all coming in here. What up? Welcome back to Black Culture The Breakdown. I am your boy Jersey. That's right. It's a little different intro today. I had to kind of take it easy because Jersey's recovering from a procedure. All right. So we're going to get Dr. Keys in the building. I already see him on here early. What up, everybody? What's going on? We on episode 4, season 2 of Black Culture The Breakdown. And we talking about what the doctor ordered. But let's get Dr. Keys on here. Yeah, Jodeci, I see you in here. Dynamic Force, what's up? Lexi Damita, I see you in here. David, what up? Estrella Visuals, what up? David got a birthday coming up. All right, like who's in the building with us? Who's in the building? All right, but let's get Dr. Keys. What's going on, everybody? I see everybody. Hey.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up, Dr. Keys?
Hey, hey.
How you feeling, man?
Oops. I didn't mean to do that. Good. How are you?
I'm good, man. Welcome to Black Culture, The Breakdown.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Of course. All right, first of all, everybody, let's clap it up for Dr. Keys, all right? All right. What up, Jade? I see Jade is in the building. I see some of the Clubhouse cousins is in the building. What up?
Yeah.
What up, Jada?
All right, I see a lot of people. Oh, what up, Lulu? Yup, David. It's David's birthday soon. Everybody's going to keep the countdown on that. That's one of the producers of the show, a.k.a. the founder of Estrella Visuals, who created the flyer, all right, Dr. Keys?
Yes!
All right, so, but everybody's welcome. We got Dr. Keys in the crib, all right? We're going to talk everything Black culture, everything plastics, and everything about what the doctor ordered, all right?
Yes!
I'm excited, Jersey. Thank you so much for inviting me to your show. I love what you're doing for Black culture, and I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to talk about plastic surgery. It's often a topic that is not really discussed amongst people of color, so I appreciate the opportunity.
Of course. You see, that's what we like already. You already come up with the professionalism. It's about time, everybody. Let's buckle down. It's time to go to school.
Yes!
All right. Dr. Keys, bring it back to the beginning for us. How did you even get into wanting to become a plastic surgeon, right? So, like it's such a, like, you're a Black man. And I feel like that's not often, what up, Arita? It's not often, like, common to say, I'm going to go to school and be a plastic surgeon, right? So what was it, the journey for you to be like, yo, this is what I'm going to do?
So my path to plastic surgery was definitely not the easiest or the most straightforward path. I always knew that I wanted to be a doctor, but had no idea what kind of doctor that I wanted to be. I was the first doctor in my family, so I didn't really have a good insight into the various careers within medicine. And so I really took the opportunity during my clinical years of med school, where we rotate through every specialty, to really decide, you know, that I wanted to do surgery over medicine. And so that's really the dynamic that people really have to choose between, is medicine, which is more cerebral, more thinking about different diagnoses and how they interact with each other. And then surgery, which we go to the operating room and we, you know, operate, and the transformation occurs right away. And it's almost like an instant, you know, gratification, versus medicine, which can take time to see results. You know, you're checking lab values and you're really kind of discussing chronic disease more than the surgery, where you just take them there and you can have a great transformation right away. And so once I was in med school and I saw, you know, what the surgeons did in the operating room, I really decided that I want to do surgery. And then within the field of surgery, the field of plastic surgery above the other specialties. And so I like plastic because it incorporates the artistic aspect of plastic surgery and it's so visual. And so you can work on patients that are babies, you know, we do a lot of like cleft lips and you know, syndactyles where their fingers are fused together. And we do those types of operations to, you know, restore normal anatomy up to the elderly. And so we can operate on, you know, old patients who need, you know, some form of reconstruction. We do that for them as well. And so, you know, those types of patients really see and appreciate your work because you're instantly changing something about them, and that makes them feel more confident. And so that's what plastic surgery does, is it restores confidence, whether it's reconstruction after trauma or making a beautiful person even more beautiful.
Got it. All right, so now bring it back now, because you mentioned there's two different parts of medicine, either the cerebral part, which is all medicine and just finding cures and that aspect, and then the other spectrum of actual surgery, plastics, and kind of like construction of it. When you made that decision, how difficult was that dealing with people that you knew on the personal side? Like when you made that decision, just wanted to talk about that experience real quick.
So, you know, don't get me wrong, like as surgeons, we do a lot of medicine as well. Like we have to make sure that the patient is optimized for surgery. And we do, especially like within the field of trauma and stuff, we do a lot of medical work as well. But we have the addition of being able to operate, which medical doctors can't do. And so with that said, you know, medical doctors, they definitely are the go-to for managing chronic conditions because we don't do that on a daily basis. We usually make it on an acute setting. And so my, you know, my family was stoked that I went into surgery. I mean, it's just a really respected profession. They had my full support. So,
okay. Your family, they knew what time it was. Okay. They knew what time it was. All right, so now, Dr. Keys, talk to us about the studying and how it even got, because now everyone wants to get to the actual surgery part. We're going to get there, but let's walk us through the process. Like, the studying to even get to where you are now, what was that journey like, and just studying and how much of it really wrapped your brain, and would you do it again?
So the training was definitely not easy. I did 4 years of undergraduate education at the University of Florida. I majored in integrative biology. And then I did 4 years of medical school at the University of Miami. And then 5 years of general surgery residency, and then 3 years of plastic surgery fellowship, which I'll complete next year. And so then I'll take my written exams, and then a year later, the oral board exams, which includes a panel of the top leaders in the field of plastic surgery, kind of reviewing and critiquing a whole year's worth of cases. And so it is a long road. I mean, I'm 33 years old, and I'm still not fully done with the training aspect of it. Oh, wow. I mean, fully confident as a surgeon and you know, optimizing patients for surgery and the decision making and technical skills and so forth. But it's just a rigorous process, a lot more so in the United States versus other countries. So would I do it all over again? Absolutely. I would totally do the training again in a heartbeat. I love the field of plastic surgery and can't wait until I convert my Celebrity Plastics brand from an online platform to a brick and mortar practice. Nowadays, though, there is a faster way through plastic surgery training, and that's through an integrated route where you can finish training in 6 years versus 8 that I described, the 5 years of general surgery and 3 years of plastic surgery training. However, you know, just because I did a few extra years, I don't regret the extra training because in the end, it makes me a better surgeon.
You know what?
Yes.
The fact that you could even get your brain to stay focused, to want to be able to learn that much, and still continuously, because you say you're 33 and you're still in the phase of still not even learning everything yet. So that means you have to continuously grow. And I'm assuming even when medicine evolves and when technology evolves, you have to evolve with whatever is going on with just the general world as well. So you can't really ever really slack or never stop learning, because medicine is constantly evolving.
That's why they call it the practice of medicine, because you can never be a fully fledged expert in it, because as you mentioned, the world is constantly changing. I mean, look at COVID. COVID kind of destroyed everything and, you know, flipped what we understood about viruses and stuff upside down, right? I mean, we could do a whole discussion about that, but it's just saying that the medicine is a practice. Anyone who says that they know everything about medicine is a quack, because they don't. There's always research coming out. There's always continuing medical education. And every doctor in the United States has to do a certain amount of continuing medical education credits in order to remain board certified. And so that is why it's so important to go to a board certified physician when you're looking for someone.
Okay, so everybody, if you didn't catch that, make sure they got their stuff legitimized, all right?
Yes.
Okay. Make sure they have their board certification, okay?
Yes!
All right. Dr. Keys, a lot of people like to go the easy way out, and they like to go to Aruba, Colombia, Dominican Republic, to get surgeries. Talk to us about how many times you've seen a botched job, and you are just like, you gotta be kidding me. And break down for us what an actual boo job course. There's a lot of ladies on here. All right. Go ahead, ladies. Ask your questions. Dr. Keys is going to take some questions in the next segment, okay? We're going to take some.
Yes.
But break down for us what it actually cost from a real surgeon, from a board-certified surgeon, versus what it cost in these third-world countries that a lot of people like to go to get it done. Break that down for us.
So cost can vary depending on the market that you're in, right? And so depending on if you get surgery done in an expensive area like New York or Beverly Hills or Miami, it's going to be a lot more expensive than if you went in the middle of nowhere in the United States and still went to a board certified, you know, plastic surgeon. But, you know, they may have lower or higher costs depending on the market. So certain areas like Miami, for example, there actually is a ton of plastic surgeons per capita. And so there's a ton of plastic surgeons in such a small area. And you're also competing with non-plastic surgeons, these cosmetic surgeons, who don't get certified by the American Board of Plastic Surgery. So there's another board called the American Board of Cosmetic Surgery, which is not a fully accredited and recognized medical specialty compared to the American Board of Plastic Surgery. It's very confusing to a patient who doesn't understand all of the nuances between plastic surgery and cosmetic surgery. But from a provider standpoint, from the medical, you know, the doctors in the field, you know, someone who's gone through plastic surgery fellowship or residency and has completed the training, the number of procedures required, as well as the hour requirement, as well as the board certification where you take a written and oral board exam, that's a higher bar, much higher bar than, for example, another specialty where you can go, you know, be an OBGYN or a family medicine doctor and then take a 1 year, you know, fellowship and get a board of cosmetic surgery certification. You know, that's different than, you know, going through an actual surgical residency and then specializing in plastic surgery. And so again, the bar is different. Now to go back to your question, prices are a lot lower in other countries because you're not getting the follow-up care that you get with a surgeon here in the States. And so you fly to a different country, you get your procedure done, and then you fly back. But that's a problem because if there's any kind of complications, if there's any issues post-op, you're not at the doctor's, you know, you can't just go to the doctor's office where they'll see you for free. You know, here in this, you know, you would get seen for free after a surgery like that, and all the care that's needed afterwards is covered. Like, we're not charging you to get follow-up care. You know, we want to see you through the entire operation. But you don't get that when you travel. So, yes, you save some money, but, you know, you run the risk of potentially devastating complications. And you asked earlier that, you know, what have I seen? So, me personally, I've seen patients who are morbidly obese, who have a BMI or body mass index of like 45, 50, which in most surgeons would not qualify for a surgery. So they're very just super overweight and they're at a high risk for complications, high risk for blood clots, you know, high risk for wound breakdown, those kinds of issues. And so, you know, a lot of surgeons would be like, hey, listen, like, I'll be happy to operate on you, but you need to lose a little bit of weight and stabilize at that weight before we do like a tummy tuck. Number one, because of the safety reasons, right? It's just unsafe to operate on the morbidly obese patients, but also because you're not going to give them a great result. Because, you know, if you're, you know, taking, you know, 10 pounds of fat and skin away from someone doing a tummy tuck on someone who weighs 350 pounds, unfortunately, that 10 pounds isn't going to make a huge, you know, difference like you see in my befores and afters that I post on Celebrity Plastics, for example. And so you're doing the patient a disservice by doing an operation that they don't really even fit the criteria for. And so I actually had patients that I saw in the emergency room where they did, you know, an operation, a tummy tuck on a morbidly obese patient. And she was actually stuck at home. She couldn't get any follow-up care. She started draining from her wound. Her wound started splitting open. And then she developed blood clots in her legs, which actually went up to her lungs. It's called a pulmonary embolism. And she almost died. She almost died. She went in the hospital. She was on the vent. And all of that just because she traveled to get her work done.
Wow. So,
yeah.
Okay, so if you guys are on this live and you're contemplating getting surgery, please don't get traveling to get it done, all right? That's a
no.
Dr. Keys does not sign that, all right? Listen to the story. If you didn't hear it, it's going to be in the playback. It's very graphic. Dr. Keys, how can you, speaking of graphic, how can you stomach a lot of this stuff? Like, in order to be a surgeon, you have to have a stomach of steel to be able to see anything and be able to keep your composure. How, were you always like this, even as a kid, where it's able to just kind of see blood and be able to function? Or tell us about that experience.
Yeah, I think there are definitely people who are just not fit for surgery. And there's nothing against that. They don't like the sight of blood. Some people pass out when they see stuff like that. And that's absolutely fine. Nothing wrong with that. It's just not me. For me, I just have a curiosity about the human body and anatomy. And I love seeing that kind of stuff. And it doesn't gross me out or anything like that. And that's how I felt.
Okay. Well, let's take a few questions, Dr. Keys. There's some people in here talking to us. They saying you will always adapt in the science and mathematics. I guess that's somebody giving you props. Dr. Genius, we see you. That's Jada. Blacknificent saying board certified. Stefan saying yo. He said, we're always told to ask surgeons if they have been any negative outcomes post-op. Do they actually tell us? Stephen 453
wants to know. I think it did tell you about potential complications, even pre-op. You know, that's part of the informed consent process. And so a good surgeon should really go through all the risks, potential risk and potential complications associated with the procedure. So even something simple like a breast augmentation, you know, it does have its known complications and inherent risks involved. And so a patient should be fully informed before surgery. And then if they get questioned about complications they've had, the surgeon should be willing to tell them. That's just part of the disclosure process.
Okay. Great answer. Okay. Any other questions, Stephen?
Yes.
Okay. Ume said, hey, what up, Ume? They said T525 says, can liposuction be done without general anesthesia? Liposuction, Lord have mercy, Jersey. Okay, can liposuction be done without general anesthesia? Dr. Keys, go ahead.
Yes, we do liposuction all the time without general anesthesia.
Hold on 1 second. Why would somebody want to do that without anesthesia?
So some people can do it. It depends on the area and how much liposuction you're getting done. And so if you're doing high volume liposuction, I don't recommend doing it wide awake. Me personally, I think that the patient will be a lot more comfortable under general anesthesia. But you can do certain blocks just with local anesthesia and just anesthesia where you're not, you know, fully under where they put a breathing tube down. They can make you kind of sleepy. They can do that for certain types of procedures like the neck. You don't need to get fully anesthetized for those kinds of areas.
Okay. All right. There you go. So now you can do it without anesthesia, T 5525. Real quick, is BMI accurate?
So BMI is accurate. It's just a mathematical formula that accounts into their height and weight as well as their, you know, body surface area. And so BMI can be overestimated sometimes. And
what is a BMI for the people that don't know?
So it's a body mass index. And so it basically takes into account their height, weight, as well as their body surface area, how much, you know, total area that they have. And it makes a calculation, which certain ranges would account for, you know, underweight. If you're under like 18, you know, you can be normal weight if you have a BMI, you know, from like 20 to 24. And then you can be overweight and then obese. And so there's different ranges for that. And so that just helps us kind of quickly assume, you know, assess if a patient is overweight or obese. Yeah. And BMI is not necessarily accurate when you have really muscular people. It can overestimate it because their weight may be elevated for their height just because of how much muscle mass they have. And so we take into account not just the strict number sometimes, but we actually have to see the patient and see if they meet the criteria to get the surgery that they want.
Got it, got it. Okay, well, there you go in terms of BMIs. If you want to know, Dr. Catrice in the building. What up, Dr. Catrice? We're going to be getting to you soon, but we got to get Naima on here first. But right now, we're talking to Dr. Keys.
Yes.
All right, and Dr. Keys is taking questions. But before we go into any more questions, let's just jump back into this because I want you to talk about your very successful platform, Celebrity Plastics, and exactly what you do with that platform. Go ahead and talk to us about that.
All right, cool. So I started Celebrity Plastics back in late 2017 after I applied to fellowship. Once I got accepted, I really started to get serious about social media because I realized the value of having a strong social media presence as a plastic surgeon, where we rely on marketing a lot more than the average doctor who stays in business as long as people get hurt or get sick. And so I figured, you know, why not start my social media while I'm in training? And then I can hit the ground running once I finish. And so at first it really started off with me reposting the results of surgeons that I thought had good results from my point of view. And then I started to really incorporate the celebrity befores and afters because I started seeing how many celebrities were having dramatic changes as a result of plastic surgery. And so I had always been under the false impression that a lot of the celebrities and models were born the way that they looked. But if you go on my Celebrity Plastics page, you can see that actually had work done to look the way that they do. And so once I started to do that, my platform really started to take off. And now I have, you know, just over 300,000 followers and about 60 million impressions a month between all of the accounts on the Celebrity Plastics Network. And so right now I also advertise for providers in the aesthetic space. So it turned into a nice little side business for me while I'm in training. However, eventually my plan is to convert the online platform to my own personal practice when all is said and done.
Man, you just literally just summed up your whole plastics, Celebrity Plastics, in like 3 minutes segment. And that was super dope, okay?
Yes!
Dr. Keys is on ready. Dr. Keys know how to sell his brand. Dr. Keys know frame his brand and pitch. That is definitely a key part of even having, you know, a side hustle, because, you know, what you do for your profession is your profession, but your side hustle is your side business, and you got to definitely know how to maneuver that, and definitely know what to do with that. Now let me tell you about this. Celebrity Plastics is definitely something that people are very fascinated about. Mm-hmm. Celebrities do get plastic surgery all the time, and we are not aware of it. So let's actually dissect a few of these that you actually put up on your actual page. You want to go through some real quick?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it.
All right. So everybody, thank y'all for tuning in to Black Culture, the Breakdown. We got Dr. Keys in the building. All right. So we're about to go through some of these plastics that he's actually dissected himself on Celebrity Plastics. So we're going to go through the first person. Da-da-da. Boom, Miss Kylie Jenner.
All nice. Right.
So talk to us about what we're looking at right here, Dr. Keys.
So in this picture, she's definitely had her lips done. You can tell because she has a lot more volume in her upper and lower lips there. She's also been open just in general about getting lip filler, even though she hasn't been as open with other procedures. Here, it also looks like she's had chin filler to make it more, slim appearing. And then probably some cheek filler to give her that nice upside down heart shape to her face. That's a marker of youth. It also looks like she's had a brow lift where you can see the lateral part of her eyebrows elevated. The arch is higher than before. And then it looks like she's definitely had a nose job. The tip of her nose is not as bulbous or wide as it was before, and the nasal bridge is a lot more narrow. Obviously, there's also some, makeup and face tuning done to really smooth out her skin. But
All
those are
right.
major changes that I see there.
Okay, so Dr. Keys just broke that all the way down. So Kylie Jenner at like what 22 years old has had what countless surgeries then is what you're basically telling us.
Yeah, I would definitely, and that's not even touching on her body, right? I mean, her body looks completely different than it does way back then. And so, it looks like she's probably had her breasts augmented as well as some fat transfer to her butt. Those are obviously, I'm not her doctor. These are just my opinions. And so these are just, hypotheticals, but that's what I feel like she's had done.
All right, well, let's jump into another cultural, not a black cultural icon, but a cultural icon in entertainment. Boom. Talk to us about Mr. Brad Pitt.
So Brad Pitt, he's a good-looking guy just from a masculine standpoint. He's got the cheekbones, really defined cheekbones. He's got that overarching brow. And so between these pictures, it honestly looks like he's really just aged pretty gracefully. A lot of celebrities often do like a lot of Botox, and so when they get older, they don't have the deep wrinkles that you see, when you compare them to other people their age. But here you can see some pretty deep wrinkles in Brad Pitt's forehead. And his skin is not super smooth like other celebrities. And so I think honestly that he's actually aged pretty gracefully for someone in the celebity as an A-lister who has access to all these types of procedures and stuff. I think he's done well.
Got it, got it. And you think that he's had minimal surgery?
Yeah, I think he's had minimal work done.
Gotcha.
Maybe, he may have had a little bit like a chin implant, maybe some filler to the chin just to give it a little bit more width and to stand out a little bit more, but it's hard to tell in these pictures because of his beard. But that would be the only thing that I really see that he's had work done between these two photos.
Got it, got it. All right, and then we have one more. All right, now we love her. She's like a cultural icon to us, but I'll be honest with us and let us know what our queen, boom, Miss Tyra Banks is done.
Tyra Banks, she is a beautiful woman. I also think she hasn't had too much work done, but the most obvious is a nose job. And I think she's probably had a few nose jobs. I don't think she was just a one and done, just looking at the dramatic changes between the two photos there. But on the left side, you can see that she's got that really wide, bulbous nose, as well as a wide dorsum, which is, just kind of consistent with just normal African traits. But on the right side, you can see that she's really thinned out the nose, kind of elevated the tip of her nose a little bit, and then really narrowed her bridge. And so that is the most striking and most obvious change that she's had. It also looks like her cheekbones are a little bit more prominent. She may have had some filler done in her cheekbones. But nowadays with makeup, they can do amazing things with makeup to give that illusion of having plastic surgery. The only other changes that she may have had potentially, maybe some buccal fat removal, where they take some fat from the buccal fat area in your cheeks to really give it a more smooth, hollow appearance. But again, that can also be simulated with makeup.
Got it. Now, Dr. Keys, I feel like when you're dealing with plastic surgery on your face, that's such a sensitive feature, right? It's your face. How can these celebrities kind of do the surgeries and think that they can get away with looking completely different than what their face previously looked like.
So it's a matter of, I think back in the day too, especially, I mean, people weren't under the microscope like they were nowadays with social media. So nowadays it's getting harder and harder to really hide those transformations just because, you know, people are under a microscope. There's cameras everywhere now. But with that said, you know, people just say what they say and people believe things, right? I mean, we saw that with our president before. You know, people can just say whatever, and if they say it enough and with enough conviction, you're always going to have people that believe you no matter what you're saying, right? And so with that said, you know, sometimes these changes are very subtle, and like, you know, you're not really trained to see these changes until you see these like clear before and after photos, and you're like, hey, yeah, I do see a difference there, but it may be really subtle to the everyday observer. So
absolutely. Well, Dr. Keys, let's clap it off for you breaking them down. Listen, I know that's all just your professional opinion. Yeah. But you definitely know what you're talking about. You definitely know your stuff. And if you are thinking about getting plastic surgery, please hit up your boy, Dr. Keys, and let them know where they can actually find you, Dr. Keys. Where can they find you?
So I'm at the University of Louisville right now, but I will be moving out west, location to be determined. But I'm really strongly considering the Las Vegas area, so look out for me.
Okay. So now you'll be in Las Vegas. Now, anything that you're working on before we close this segment out? Anything that we should be on the lookout for?
So be sure to follow me at Dr. Keys, and also my business page, Celebrity Plastics. I'm happy to answer any questions on DM. I also host Room on the Clubhouse app, so look me up on the Clubhouse at Dr. Keys, same name. And again, if you have any questions, feel free to hit up my DMs. I'll be happy to answer any of them. Just mention that you came from the Jersey Show, and then I'll be happy to answer them.
Absolutely. And you can mention you came from Black Coke to the Breakdown.
Yes.
Okay. Dr. Keys, you got to come back. We got to do this again. I feel like everybody is having a great time in here. And I feel like just even the synopsis of breaking, we've never actually broken down like different surgeries on Black Coke to the Breakdown. This is a first. Okay. Let's clap it up for that. So let's not be.
I love your platform. I love what you're doing for the Black culture, as I mentioned. And so anything you need, man, I got you.
Man, of course, man. Now, and we'll definitely tap back in because you're definitely someone that we can keep learning from. And just like medicine's evolving, you got to come on here and let us know what the new evolution looks like for us. All right? But Dr. Keys, appreciate you coming on, my brother, and we'll see you next time.
Sounds good. Thank you for having me again.
Dr. Keys, everybody. All right. So now, that was Dr. Keys, you guys. Founder of Celebrity Plastics. Make sure you guys are tuning in, tapping in, and following that man, all right? You see how he just broke everybody down?
Yes!
All right? So if you're trying to get your stuff done, that's who to go see. Let's get in the squats and splits on the line. Keep the show going. But that was Dr. Keys. That was dope. Super dope. Fun. What up?
Oh my god, I feel like it's like a Clubhouse reunion.
It is like a Clubhouse reunion. Everybody's on here. Dr. Catrice, what up? You in the building?
Yes, yeah. Everyone's here.
Everybody's definitely here. Hey, Ume. I see Ume's in
there. Hey, Ume.
Everybody's on here. Lulu's on here. What up, Lulu? Oh, she on here showing love too. What up, everybody? Yo, it's all about love. Now, you're welcome back to Black Culture to Break.
Thank you.
Yes. All right, so, yo, Dr. Keys is no joke. All right. He just broke everything down just now with how he even got into the medical field and just picking between either like holistic or going into, you know, surgery and cosmetic reconstruction. And now he's basically doing plastic surgery and developed his own brand discussing and breaking down different plastic surgeries by different celebrities.
I know.
So I feel like it's actually interesting to see that even people in the medical field can find side hustles.
Okay. It's crazy, but it's important.
Yes. Hey, they know what time it is.
Period.
Now, let me ask you, how important is it to be physically attractive?
Ooh. Okay, so you know the saying, if you look good, you feel good, right? And I think that is very, very true. However, I feel like in today's society, a lot of people don't understand what that really means. So you may look at yourself in the mirror and say, I really wish I could lose 30 pounds. I would feel so much better if I did. That's good. Like, you know, you go to the gym, you work out, lose those 30 pounds. Or you may look at your skin and say, oh, I wish I had glowier skin. What do I got to do? Do I have to eat better, drink more water? Same thing with your hair. All of that physical appearance and wanting to, you know, enhance who you are to make yourself feel good is really good. You know, it boosts your self-confidence, your self-esteem. You know, as humans, we date people. You want to make sure you look good for your boo. That is important. However, you never want to go ahead and look the part because somebody else tells you to. You know, you don't want to tell yourself like, hey, I want to lose some weight until someone tells you, go get surgery done or go lose a crazy amount of weight or like you need to have a six pack tomorrow. Do it because it will make you feel better. Do it because you want to look like that person, not because someone else wants you to look like that.
So now talk to us about just our industry. We're dancers where, and you used to be an NBA dancer where I feel like they literally pick you based on even just how you look. Mm. So just getting the image right to even fit into this industry. Talk to us about just how you felt you had to conform or be, you know, just a certain way to fit into that fold.
So, you know, a lot of us, we go back and we look at old pictures of ourselves and old videos and like, dang, I want to get back to that size. And I feel like especially during the pandemic, okay, especially during the pandemic, a lot of us have dealt with that. So for me, I feel like I looked my best throughout college. That's when I was dancing for the NBA. I was dancing 6, 7, 8 hours a day. And I'm like, dang, I look so good. But I had to ask myself, was I mentally healthy? Because during that time, I'm rushing between New Jersey to Philly to here to there. Being on the Sixers is so much pressure in that, okay, you got to look a certain way to fit the costume. You know, like they give you an outfit. 9 out of 10 times, audition time, you're not eating. You're starving yourself for the audition to look good.
You'll be eating?
Yeah, listen, these auditions, sometimes they're from like early in the morning throughout the evening, especially when I did Jets. It was like 9 a.m. to like 5. You don't even want to eat around the judges. You're so nervous. But that is not healthy, you know? So during that time, I'm like, okay, well, I can't eat too much because they're going to say something. Or a lot of the times we have rehearsals, you don't even want to eat in front of the coach and you could have just come from work and haven't really eaten. So you're like, I'm just going to wait till after. Oh, let me suck it in. So I felt like I looked good, but did I feel good? I mean, like I was happy that I was dancing on a team. I was happy that I was dancing in college, but it's not until now that I realized like, I feel so good right now. Mm. I feel so good mentally and I may not have the perfect body, but I know that I'm healthy though. You know what I'm saying? And if I decide to say, you know what, I want to get my abs back and I want to do this, let it be that I'm just working out and it makes me feel good. And the actual working out feels good, not because a coach or a team told me I have to be a certain size, you know?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Health is wealth, all right?
Okay.
But dance doesn't appreciate that. I feel like dance definitely will make you lose your mental. Mm. You're trying to get your physical right, you understand? And that's what's jacked up about dance, because we have to reconstruct that whole business, okay? Dance changed, all right? All right?
Yes!
Changed the face of dance in 2021, but that's going to be another conversation for another day. But now, jump into this real quick. How important, or how much pressure is it to look your best version? All right, so now, with that being said, so now it's like you used to look like that, you said, but now you're feeling better, but now how much pressure is it to go back to be like, yo, I need to look like how I used to look, or whatever the case may be?
There's a lot of pressure. There's already a lot of pressure on yourself. Like I said, a lot of times we go back and we look at images, or there are some people who look back at themselves and saying, oh, I didn't like the way I look and they're different now. So it depends on where you are in your journey. You know, you may have felt like you looked better 10 years ago versus somebody else may look better now, which is fine. But I feel like the pressure comes from outside people, you know? Anytime you see someone, they're like, oh my God, I remember when you were this way. I love the way you looked then. Or there's even rude people who come up to people, oh, you put on weight? Like, mind your damn business, you know? But you have to think about, like I said, your mental health. You know, people are crazy. People are very judgy. But your mental health, to me, is very important. So
absolutely.
If you feel like you look good and you feel good, don't allow what other people say or what they think. Because they may be saying that to you and they don't even feel good or they don't even think they look good. But they want to attack your mind and say, oh, what happened? Or, oh, you used to be a lot smaller, you know, or what's going on? You know, so... Or you're losing so much weight, but like you look like people say the craziest things, and it's a lot of pressure. But you have to try to eliminate outside things.
I'm confused. Like you have the nerve to be talking, but I guess it's in the public eye, so I guess they put us on the standard of, but you're in the public eye, So it's actually interesting. It is like an unsaid pressure. I definitely feel like that. But now I feel like all of that's changing and all this body positivity and, but health is definitely wealth. And I definitely feel like everyone should be healthy. And we should definitely be the healthiest versions of ourselves that we can be. Without putting too much pressure of
And I definitely feel like as celebrities, they have it worse because they are in the public eye. You know, there's a lot of, like I said, outside pressure. They may self feel like they look good, but then they compare them to this person and that person. But you start to realize that there's a lot of people who are taking a stand and they're saying, I like the way I look. I don't care if I'm a little thick here. I don't care if I'm small. You know, just like the term hashtag little booties matter. they love that. Okay, I got small titties. I ain't care. You know, it's all about self-love at the end of the day, you know, and that when you kind of project that, it helps other people feel like, you know what? I don't care what they said about me yesterday. I'm beautiful.
That's okay.
Yes.
Naima, that's why we love you on here. Well, thank you so much for coming on and just spreading a little bit of love, a little bit of good energy out here, right? Appreciate you stopping by. You
see, of course.
I'm a little bit like injured today. So, you know, Jersey's having a seat.
Yeah,
but it's okay. But I'm still on here pushing it through as we do, Black People United.
Okay.
Well, Naima, appreciate you. See you later. Oh, yeah. Let everybody know where they can find you. Sorry.
You can find me on Instagram at Squats and Splits. Also, my business page, House of Pumps. And you guys, something major is coming. That's all I'm gonna say. Tune in Friday.
Ooh, got her with comedy.
Yes.
He likes as a black culture to bring down whatever's coming. Make sure you bring your behind back over here so you can come talk to us about that, right?
Okay.
Yeah. Deuces.
Deuces.
Peace, everybody. Woo! All right, so that's Miss Squats and Splits. If you ain't know who she is, that's Squats and Splits. She used to dance with French Montana.
Yes.
Right, let them know on here, okay? She used to dance for the 76ers.
Yes.
Okay. She has her own heels company, House of Pumps.
Yes.
That's enough now. She's hitting. She's hitting. We're going to get Miss Dr. Catrice in the building, all right? Dentist to the stars. And she's going to break it down for us. Dr. Catrice, are you ready, my queen? All right. Let's get her in. What's up, everybody? Tapping in. It's Black Culture Breakdown. Just a little bit. Hey.
Hello.
Welcome to Black Culture The Breakdown, Dr. Catrice.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here. I am a night owl, so this is just up my alley.
Just up your alley, just up my alley.
Yes.
Okay. Now, welcome.
Thank you.
So, you are a dentist to the stars.
Yes.
Tell everybody exactly who you are and what you do.
I am Dr. Catrice Austin, cosmetic dentist to the stars and everybody. I have been doing cosmetic dentistry for 25 years now. Started in New York in 1998-ish, 97, 98. And I decided very early on that I wanted to work with the entertainment industry because I was hitting the streets of New York in the 90s when it was popping. Hip hop was popping, comedy was popping. So my first celebrity client was Isaac Hayes, the late, great Isaac Hayes, and went on to see Common and Missy and Busta, Wendy Williams, D'Angelo, and you guys may know me best from working with Cardi B. That was one of the most popular smile makeovers that I did. So I've worked with so many people in between Cardi B and Isaac Hayes, and I love what I do.
Okay, well, clap it up for Dr. Okay, like, if y'all ain't understand what she did, you understand now. All right? She said, got a bag and fits me. Did it, okay?
I am getting rapped about. I'm the dentist that rappers rap about.
Yeah, you get to definitely go down in the books with that, because Bodak Yellow was such a swinging song. So bring us to the beginning of your journey. How did you get into wanting to be a dentist?
I know. Here's the story. When I was growing up, I hated my own teeth. I have a little gap now still, but when I was younger in elementary school, I had multiple gaps. My teeth flared out and I got called names. I got called Bugs Bunny. I got called all kinds of names, and it like hurt my feelings. It hurt my feelings to the point where I became an introvert. I was not the outgoing person that you may see me now on Clubhouse. So I kind of hid from other people and other kids until I got to high school, you know, that pivotal time in your life where you want to be one of the cool kids. You just want to fit in. I reached my breaking point. My mom knew how much my smile bothered me. So one day I thought I was going to the dentist to just get my normal checkup and cleaning. And it turned out that my mom surprised me with the braces that I always wanted. And I was so happy. I wore these traditional braces. We didn't have all the cute little Invisalign and Smile Direct, the regular metal braces I wore for a year, just a year. At the age of 15, got them off at age 16. And I had no idea when the braces came off how my self-esteem was going to be elevated. I had no idea how crazy people were going to gravitate to me because of this new smile. And I was like, whoa, like a smile is really that powerful? A smile can make that big of a difference in someone's life? I mean, I got my first boyfriend. Shout out to Scotty Newman. Hey, boo. I joined the pom-pom dance squad. And I actually, I had the confidence to do that. And then my senior year, I won Prettiest Smile. And I was like, you know what? This smile thing is real. I need to feel like I can give that same feeling what I'm feeling right now. I need to give everybody that feeling. So it was cool because in high school, in college, I knew exactly what I wanted to do. I wanted to be a dentist. And I didn't have to find myself. I just knew exactly what I wanted to do. So I just followed the path.
Come on.
I was lucky.
Beautifully put together and such a beautiful story. And you said a smile is so important. Something as simple as a smile, though, can change everybody's confidence. And I think
it's crazy.
Those things that you said, because it's so true.
Yeah, I feel like it's one of the first things that people will notice about you, and it plays a big part of making a good first impression.
Definitely. So now, when you felt that confidence boost, and you actually wanted to make that transition and say, all right, I'm going to now go and do this for other people, what was that process like? Like studying, getting into the actual dentistry of it all?
Yeah. So to become a dentist, you can major in anything that you want as long as you take the required pre-dental courses. So that is normally like sciences, chemistry, biology, math, and all of those boring things. And I did not like the sciences that much to major in it. So I ended up majoring in psychology, which kind of sounded crazy to some people, but I felt like there is a psychology to doing dentistry because people are scared. You got to learn how to communicate with people. So there's a lot of psychology that actually goes into play with my job. So that's what I majored in. And with psychology, you get to write papers, which I love writing. So I majored in psychology for 4 years. I went to University of Michigan. I am a Flint, Michigan native. And I was there doing the good years, the Fab 5 years, the Desmond Howard Heisman Trophy win. I was there when it was good. So graduated and went to, decided to leave Michigan and go to Baltimore, University of Maryland in Baltimore. And dental school is another 4 years. It's similar to medical studies. So 4 years of undergrad, 4 years of dental school. And that was the hardest thing that I ever did in my life, because not majoring in those sciences came back to bite your girl in the butt. So where everybody else had all that science history, and they had, you know, they were seeing it for the second time, I was seeing a lot of things for the first time. So it's kind of crazy, because in dental school, a lot of people doubted me, and I was like the least likely to like be who I am and do all the things that I do. Nobody saw this coming. But so the first 2 years were kind of challenging, but the second 2 years, when you get to work on patients, that's when I just took off. I like smashed everybody in my requirements. I finished early. People were like, whoa. And I decided to, after I graduated, to go to New York to do a optional year of hospital training, which is called a residency, which medical students do too, but it's not required for dental students. But that 1 year of hospital training is equivalent to 2 years of work experience. So I'm like, you know, you don't learn everything in dental school, so let me do this year of hospital training. And there happened to be more hospitals in the New York area than the Baltimore, DC area. So I'm like, I'll go to New York for a year and do this little residency. And that year, my first year in New York in 96, I couldn't leave. It was too much for me. It was too much fun.
So you're a New York girl.
I'm a New York girl. I think I feel like I was born to be here.
Got you. Yeah. Now, were you able to build up your clientele here in New York? Were you able to really? So now, how were you able to get noticed so celebrities would want to keep coming to you? Obviously, the word of mouth got to be the biggest one. But how were you able to get your first one to carry on to get all?
It's crazy, because that year that I came to New York, I didn't know anybody. Maybe one or two people who went to University of Michigan. But basically, I came here not knowing anybody. And this girl that I was doing my residency training with, she knew about this comedy club in the village of New York called the Boston Comedy Club. It was $5 to get in. It was in my little after dental school budget. And I would go there every Sunday. And this is back in 96, 97, when Def Comedy Jam was just really getting off. And all these young comedians, from a young Kevin Hart, a young Mike Epps, a young Tracy Morgan, a young Chris Rock, all these celebrities would come and work out their material for $5 on Sunday. So I went there every Sunday, and I started to make friends with comedians. And that literally became, those comedians literally became my family members. Comedians open up for music acts. So I kind of hang out with them and go to their shows. And then I got exposure to a few music acts. But at the same time, the clubs in New York was popping. Diddy had a restaurant called Justin's, and on Tuesdays, he'd literally turn his restaurant at about 10 o'clock. He turned the restaurant from a restaurant to a nightclub, and all the big celebrities would go there on Tuesdays. So I'm in there one Tuesday, and I see this icon, Isaac Hayes, and he's sitting down having dinner. And I'm like, man, my mom used to play Isaac Hayes all the time in the house. Like, there he is. He's right there. I'm just going to go over there and say, hey, I'm going to just go over there and say, and introduce myself and let him know who I am and what I do. And, you know, well, everybody needs a dentist. So, you know, let me see. And I literally go over there. And by that time, I had put on my business cards, Dr. Catrice Austin, Dentist to the Stars, not having a celebrity in my but I put it on the card. We're going to manifest this.
Manifestation.
Yes, honey. We manifest. So I go over there. Hi, Mr. Isaac Hayes. I'm Dr. Catrice Austin. I'm a dentist here in New York. If you ever need a dentist, you know, here's my card. And then he took that card, and he was like, you're a dentist. Young lady, I ain't never seen a dentist that looked like you. Sit down and have dinner with me. And I literally was invited to sit down and have dinner. And that the rest is history. We got to know each other. He decided that he was going to become my first celebrity client. And not only that, he started taking me. I basically became a part of his entourage. So Grammys. I would go to the Grammys. He was really into the Acapulco Black Film Festival. Now it's the American Black Film Festival. But he would take me to film festivals. He was on the radio as a host on Kiss FM. So he would talk about my business on air for free. And all of that stuff just really took my business to the next level.
So you just put yourself out there.
Pretty I put myself out there.
You manifested all of what
all of that. I faked it until I made it.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
But yes.
Geez, I feel like this is such a lesson for anybody that's listening, that no matter what it is, because sometimes we go to school, we get the education, and now what?
Now what?
Now how do you figure out how to get the job that you want, or how to
the clients that you want?
Clients that you want, or get the business rolling that you want to get rolling. You have to come up with a strategy and a plan.
Yeah.
Be able to get customers. In order to make money, you need somebody to pay. So how are you going to now attract? But you said you're a dentist to the stars.
Somebody has to do it. So I'm like, it's going to be me.
And it was genius.
Yes.
And I say, you know, today, for everyone that's listening, it's easier than ever. Like, I had to literally go out and find my clients physically. There was no internet. There was no DMing. I do it now, but if I were a young person now, you just slide into people's DMs. It's that easy.
That easy. Look how we meet, right? Me and you met on
Clubhouse. You could be in a clubhouse room.
Right?
Talk to your favorite celebrity. It's that easy. So there is no excuses today.
Yes.
There is no excuses today. Wow. Dr. Catrice has definitely given us a whole bunch of inspiration. If you guys have any questions for Dr. Catrice, please feel free to drop them in the comment box or on the back end. I'm going to definitely ask you some questions later on towards the end of the show. But Dr. Catrice, get into social media. So yes. Now, Isaac Hayes is your client, and now he's promoting you. By the way, I go to the film festival every year, by the way, because my dance school used to be sponsored by HBO.
And
the premier sponsor. So I get to, if you've been in any recent years, and we might have bumped into each other.
Very possible in Miami.
That's definitely, might have not even known. But talk to us about social media, and you're taking your brand now to become so much more than just being a dentist. You're like a social media dentist. Like, if that makes sense.
Say that one more time. You were cutting out.
I was saying, like, you were like social media meets dentist meets branding extraordinaire. Talk to us about how you were able to develop that brand.
From the start, just with my whole brand of being Dentist to the Stars, I decided very on that I was going to be my authentic self. I love hip hop. I love to dance. I'm in the clubs. I decided I'm going to show you guys all of that. Like, I'm going to just be myself. And I'm a dentist from 9 to 5 or 9 to 7. But after that, I'm going to show you my life behind the scenes. And so when Facebook came along and you could go live, I was one of the early adapters. And I have been, from the beginning, I had been working with a publicist. I had been on TV, on many TV shows, from Good Morning America, Today Show, and all types of TV shows across America.
Wait, how did you know already to have a publicist and to have how did you already know? Because a lot of these businesses don't be known.
Mama Austin hooked me up. Like, as soon as I forgot to tell that part. As soon as I got my first celebrity client, Isaac Hayes, she was like, you need a publicist. And I was like you. I'm like, what's a publicist? Because in 1998, dentists did not have publicists.
Okay.
And so she explained to me what a publicist does, because my mom is hip and young like that. And so she was like, you need to call Eddie Murphy's publicist. Her name is Terry Williams. She wrote this book, The Personal Touch. And I'm like, okay, you want me to call Eddie Murphy's publicist? What's the number? And so I literally cold call her, and she takes my phone call, and I tell her who I am and what I did, and she loved the story. She's like, wow, you're a Black dentist. My office ended up being on 57th Street. And if you guys know New York, 57th Street is like the Rodeo Drive of New York. This is where Carnegie Hall is, where all the Tiffany's and all of these high-end stores are on 57th Street. So when she learned I'm a black dentist, age 28, on 57th Street, entrepreneur, she was like, this is a story. But I charge $50,000 a month and more to my clients. So I am not quite in your budget. However, yeah. yeah, she works with corporations and big-time celebrities. So she was like, but my homegirl, Renee Foster, she might be able to help you, so call her. So I call Renee, cold call her, and she was like, wow, this is a great, great story. She was like, as a matter of fact, I don't have a dentist and I don't have insurance. What's up? You want to barter? I was like, okay, let's barter, because I really didn't have the money. So we ended up bartering. She got me my publicity and got me on TV and magazines and all of that stuff. And I did her cleanings and whatever she needed for free. And that's how I got my start and learned about media. Okay. And that prepared me for social media. By the time social media came, I was already hip to being on TV and knew exactly how to work the camera. So when Facebook Live came on, I was killing it. People weren't ready for it. And so it started off with every Thursday. My office hours were Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. I always worked 3 days. And Thursdays was like my Fridays. So at the end of the day, I call it Turn Up Thursdays. I get bottles of champagne. I have guest celebrities come by. And we dance. We have DJ on the turntables. And I literally turn my office into a party. Everybody wanted that last 6 o'clock appointment because they knew at the end of that day, we was about to turn up. So I got my start on, anybody knows about this, Turn Up Thursdays was a thing. I have all kinds of legends and people come by, you just never knew. My neighbors would come by, we just have a blast. So that's how I started with Turn Up Thursdays.
I need to be putting up Turn Up Thursdays when the COVID is done, okay?
Right.
Yeah.
We just carried that over to Instagram and I love it. Social media is my number one source of clients. Number one. I don't have to do much but to show up on social media and find the clients that are looking for my services or find the clients that are looking for my advice. So social media is my way of reaching out to you guys who have dental questions, who need dental services, and specifically the dental services that I offer.
Definitely. What's going on, Lady George? I see it's like a clubhouse reunion in here.
Yes.
But, you know, but Dr. Catrice, you've done such a beautiful job of just being able to just articulate.
Thank you.
People want to be able to tap in with you just to see your beautiful smile, number one. Then they're going to want to tap in because they want to hear what you have to say.
Yeah.
So, and in addition to that, you're very entertaining. Have you thought about having a dentistry reality show?
I get that all the time. And yes, I have been approached by 3 different production companies. And hopefully one day it's going to actually happen. It's a process. But I am definitely on the radar. And hopefully I'm working on something right now. So we're going to put the prayers up. Hopefully something will come.
Will you be able to do like a Married to Medicine?
You know, the one thing that I want for this reality show is to show the transformation. I don't know if you guys were around back in the late 90s, early 2000s when there was a show called Extreme Makeover. I want to strictly show transformations, kind of like a Dr. Pimple Popper or something like that, where you literally get to see a before and after. I don't want to fight nobody. I don't have nobody. I ain't got time to be drama and all of that stuff. And you're not going to get in my personal business. You don't need to know who I'm dating and all of that stuff. No.
Okay.
No.
Right, Janine? Uh-huh.
Okay, and she's not going to. So if that's what you guys wanted to tune into, you're going to have to go to the other show. Dr. Catrice will have a before and after showing her beautiful work.
Are y'all going to watch it? Put the emojis down. Hey, Spliff Star. Hey, boo. The legendary Spliff Star is in the building. Hey, would y'all watch my reality show? Will y'all watch a dental show? I need to see the emojis.
Yes.
Watch it, definitely.
Okay.
I would definitely, first of all, people will be lining up to come on the show.
And right?
People will be lining just to come on the show. I just think somebody just said, no, they're not coming on the show.
Fear. You're not going to watch it?
Yeah.
Okay, Fear. Well, see, this is why I don't have a show. You're supposed to be like, yes.
Definitely. Because he's fearing to go on there. But, you know what I'm saying? But I'm going to definitely be watching the show. I'm definitely trying to pull up to the show.
Okay.
Okay. So I can, and I think that would be dope. Would you just do it all about getting people's teeth straightened again?
Yeah, and the whole story. And I do these, if you go to my IGTV, I do smile stories. So some of my clients, I will take you through the journey of the process. So you can kind of get a sneak preview from my IGTV of kind of what I would want my show to be like a series of those smile stories. Because it's a, like, I just told you my smile story. Everybody who gets a transformation, there's a story behind that smile.
Definitely a story behind every smile. I'm right now in, you know, a dilemma because I want to get my teeth straightened. And I asked the question on Clubhouse, which one was better, Smile Direct or Invisalign. But I think I made my decision, and I think I'm going to go with the specific company.
Oh, okay. Well, you can hit me. You can hit me behind the scenes and let me know what you're thinking about.
Yes, I'm definitely going to let you know. But I definitely feel like it's imperative. How important is for Black people, talk about Black our people, to have a good smile? How important is it to just get our teeth? Because sometimes we're like, yeah, just leave it alone. If it ain't broke, you know, leave it alone. But even if it's not perfect, how important is it for you to be like, yo, just get your teeth?
So again, I mentioned earlier, you have like 10 seconds to make a good first impression. And a lot of that first impression has to do with your confidence. So if you have something about your smile that you don't like, whether you're Black, white, no matter what race you are, how old you are, fix it. If you are confident about your smile, then I say keep it. Now, people talk about my gap. Even as a cosmetic dentist, me having a gap is a problem for some people. But I am confident, even though, yeah, I got my braces, my gap opened back up, but I'm confident where I am right now. If your teeth are severely, you know, not presentable, and you feel held back like in life where you can't get a job, you can't find a date, you can't make new friends, you feel held back in your life in any way, then fix it. There are options out there to fix it. So the importance of me being out here on social media, on TV, writing books and all the things that I do is to be your resource, because a lot of times we have not so perfect smiles or not so good oral hygiene because we just don't know. And it's generations of not knowing that sometimes gets us in problems.
If you're tell us, what is proper oral hygiene? For the people that don't know on the live, all right? Like, let's really break this down. Like,
okay.
Are we supposed to brush our teeth? What are we, supposed to floss every day? Is tongue scrapers effective? Mouthwash? Talk to us about the whole regimen.
The whole regimen. All right. So I have a first of all, let me tell you when you have signs of gum disease. Gum disease, I call it the itis in your mouth. Okay. Y'all get the itis sometimes, but you don't want the itis in your mouth. Gingivitis.
Okay.
Signs of gingivitis, bleeding gums, swollen gums, gums that are red, gums that are tender, bad breath. Bleeding gums is the number one sign that you have the itis or gingivitis. You have an infection in your mouth, and that's what itis is. So we don't want you guys to get that infection in your mouth. There's mild gum disease, which is gingivitis, and then there's advanced gum disease called periodontitis. Gingivitis only infects the gums. Periodontitis affects the bone and the substructures, the fibers that hold your teeth to your bone. So if you get advanced gum disease and your fibers or your bone starts to deteriorate, you're going to start to get loose teeth and you're going to start to lose them. So here is what you need to do, people, to prevent yourself from getting the itis or advanced gum disease. Number one, so I have a 4-step smile workout program. Brush, floss, rinse your mouth, scrape your tongue. Brush, floss, rinse, scrape. Twice a day, preferably 3 times a day, but I'll take twice, morning and at night. All right, number one.
Oh, shit.
Number one, all right.
Oh, all right.
All right, you can use a soft bristled manual toothbrush, soft only. Now, I know you guys out there might think if I use a medium brush or a hard brush is going to give me a better clean. But the truth of the matter is the hard and the medium are too hard for your teeth's enamel. So if you're brushing with a hard toothbrush, you're going to scrape the enamel away and you're going to end up with grooves in your teeth and sensitivity. So we don't want that. Soft manual toothbrush. This is a charcoal brush that I sell on my store. But if you really want to take it to the next level, this baby right here, that right there,
what's soft that?
Toothbrush. It brushes at 40,000 strokes per minute. Your hand could never go 40,000 times in a minute. So you're going to get a superior clean with the Sonic toothbrush. It costs a little bit more than a regular toothbrush, what, $3? Mine on my store is $47. But this investment is like a car wash for your smile. It's going to keep the plaque down. It's going to keep the stains. If you drink coffee, tea, smoke cigarettes, smoke weed, whatever you smoke, whatever you drink, it'll keep the, hey, I'm just saying, in today's world, you got to, hey, it will keep those stains down. So, so brushing. You can use whatever toothpaste you want. It could be fluoride free. It can have fluoride. The toothpaste is like a personal preference. So brush 2 minutes. And that's why I like the Sonic toothbrush, because it has a timer. Every 30 seconds, 30, 30, 30, 30, it's going to beep and tell you when to, so you don't want to rush your brush.
Order that. You sell this in your store?
Yeah. You can order this on my store. Red Wine Stains, yep. I sell this on my store. My store is connected to my Instagram or VIPsmiles.com. And for Black History Month, put in the discount code Black History Month and you'll get 25% off.
Okay.
For you guys. Yeah. All right, so that's brushing. Here's where most people blow it, flossing. If you do not floss, you're leaving all that plaque, that soft gooky bacteria that forms constantly on your teeth all day. You're leaving it below the gums. And if you're leaving it below the gums, it's going to tear the fibers, it's going to eat the bone, and it can cause cavities. So your main goal with flossing is to clean the sides of your teeth. And you want to go up and down. Not some people go in and they zigzag.
Very painful. And about the bleeding, sometimes with the flossing, you end up bleeding.
Because, this is going to be the reason why. If you get the plaque when it's soft and removable, it's not going to hurt. When that plaque turns hard into tartar, so plaque is soft. You can brush it away. You can floss it away. You might have tartar on your teeth. That's hardened plaque. It turns into a rock. You can't brush it away. You can't floss it away. Now that's just hardened bacteria that's above or below the gums. And that will cause your gums to bleed and there's nothing you can do about it. So now you got to go to the dentist. Now we got to use those instruments to jack it off or scrape it off. So you may have bleeding gums until you physically go to the dentist and we get the tools to remove it and polish your teeth.
That wasn't my experience right now, though.
Right, yeah. He's just asking for a friend. Yeah. back in the game, entertainment. So, yeah, you want to floss so that plaque never turns hard. So you're going to literally go up and down. If you keep it on the tooth and you're going up and down, it shouldn't hurt your gums. But if it hurts your gums might have some tartar underneath. And you just get a cleaning. So brush, floss. You want to floss every day. But you know what? Some people get...
In that order, brush and then floss.
It doesn't matter. We just want you to just do it.
Okay.
For the people who... There's two things that I like for the people who don't like that string. Because some people get all tied up and they don't like the string. You could get the floss on the stick. You get like a pack of 75 or 100.
Yes.
On the handle. That's real easy. You just take the handle, go up and down real easy. Those are my favorite things to use. Now, if you don't like none of that, then you can pick up what's called a water pick water flosser. And that's like a little device that you can put some water in and it has like a little hose. And it's really like a car wash for your smile. And you take the hose and you just squirt it towards the gums. Really great if you have braces. Really great if you have dental bridges. But you take the water hose and you just aim it towards the gums and it kind of blasts. like literally like a car wash. It'll blast the plaque from underneath your gums. And it's the next best thing to flossing. Water pick. A water pick is like $40, $50, not expensive.
And so, and would you say that it, and it's reusable, correct?
Oh yeah, you can put mouthwash in it. They have one that goes in the shower, so you can literally do it while you're in the shower. So if you use the water pick and the sonic toothbrush, psh, your dentist is gonna be mad as hell because they ain't gonna make no money, so zero.
Yeah. So the water pick and the sonic toothbrush. So basically, you're telling us that us brushing our teeth like this is out, like no more. Everybody should at this
you
point.
You can, then, but some people just don't do it. So I'm trying to tell you, I don't have the water pick on my store, but the sonic toothbrushes. The you can do it the regular way with the regular floss and regular toothbrush, but the truth of the matter, a lot of people just don't do a good enough job. So that's why I like the sonic toothbrush, because it has the timer. It has like a sensitive mode. It has like five different brushing modes for any kind of person that needs any kind of dental brushing experience. So you can't go wrong. So my goal is, if you're not gonna do it manually, let me show you the tools that you need to brush properly. So we got brushing, we got flossing, okay, and now rinsing your mouth. You can use any kind of store-bought Listerine, Scope. You're gonna see the trend now that there's no alcohol. So you'll see Listerine zero, Scope zero, alcohol, will dry out the tissues and it will allow the plaque to actually stick to the gums. So we don't want that. So now you'll see the trend. You'll see alcohol-free mouthwash. That's what you want. You can make your own mouthwash. You could do hydrogen peroxide. This is what our grandparents did. They took peroxide and you just mix it with water, like 50% peroxide, 50% water.
Make it taste good, though.
It doesn't taste... it doesn't have a particular taste, but it's healthy for your gums. And when you go to the dentist now, your dentist may make you rinse with peroxide because it keeps the COVID levels lower in your saliva. So your dentist may now require you to do a little swish of peroxide before you go. And so Courtney.
So swishing with peroxide every day is only going to be beneficial for us.
Yes. Just make sure you dilute it. If you don't, because that's a big TikTok trend, just rinsing with pure peroxide, you may find that it will burn your tissues. It's too strong without diluting it to use just straight as peroxide. So just put some water in it and you're good to go.
Got you. All right, so then now brushing, flossing, rinsing, and then what's the last one?
Scraping your tongue. I just dropped my tongue scraper. Let me see if I can find it. Oh, it's deep. It's deep. But anyway, you can brush your tongue, but the brushing isn't as good as a tongue cleaning device. The tongue cleaning device has little ridges on it, and it's like a little device that you can stick your tongue out, and it'll just scrape the black or brown or white bacteria from the crevices of the tongue. So it's okay if you brush, but if you can find a tongue cleaning device, it is a game changer. And the further you can get back, and some people gag, so they can't go that far back, but cleaning the tongue will give you fresher breath. A lot of people don't realize you get bad breath when the bacteria gets below the gums because you're not flossing, or the bacteria actually gets on your tongue. So if you were to stick your tongue out right now and you see like a brown or white film, you probably need to clean your tongue.
I need to clean your tongue.
Can I take a hot second? Somebody wants to know what kind, and I have another.
Go ahead.
Let me get my stuff. Hold on.
Hey, listen, y'all. Dr. Catrice is dropping a lot of gems, right? And make sure y'all go into her store. And when she come back, I'm gonna let her comment down in the comments.
Yes.
All right, but you don't hear really learn a lot. Okay, I'm confused. You gotta brush your teeth 3 times a day,
Dr. Yes. All right, tongue scraper. So. You see this thing? You see how it has, can y'all see that?
I see it.
You see how it has the little ridges right there? It has,
I see it.
Can you see the little grooves right there? So what you're gonna do is you're gonna bend this tongue scraper and stick your tongue out. This one has been through the ringer. And clean it like that. and the ridges and the grooves of this tongue scraper is going to lift the plaque from underneath the grooves of your tongues, the crevices of your tongue. So you can see, you can find these on Amazon. You can find them in the dental toothpaste aisle. You can find them everywhere. But tongue scraper, if you just can't find one, you can brush your tongue, but these are better.
That's not inside your, that's not in your store?
You know what? I'm going to start carrying these. These I don't have either. So I just have the toothbrushes and teeth whitening products and charcoal.
What's the benefit of charcoal?
The charcoal is a natural whitener and natural detoxifying agent. So charcoal, if you guys are not aware, it will get the poisons and bacteria out of your system. So if you were to ever go to the hospital with poisoning, charcoal is what they're going to give you to clean the poison out of your system. So this charcoal powder does the same thing with your teeth and your mouth. So you are going to take your toothbrush, dip it in, and you saw I had a charcoal. There we go. I got a charcoal. This is on my store. I got a charcoal infused toothbrush, and you wet your bristles, put it in. And this is similar to baking soda, but this has the antibacterial properties. So it's really, really fine powder. You wet your toothbrush bristles, dip it in, and I want to do it. Let's see. And you're going to brush with it.
What and it tastes like?
It tastes like nothing, a whole bunch of nothingness. And again, if you drink coffee, tea, or smoke, this is going to, I never did that live, but I felt like doing it. It's going to get the stains off. It's going to keep your teeth white by getting the stains off and lifting the color a little bit. Now, if you have a truly yellow smile, like you have yellow.
Eat it.
Oh, yeah.
So you go, oh, okay. Oh.
It's not harmful. I mean, you should rinse. I'm not going to tell y'all to, you know, at home you're going to rinse it out. Okay. But I don't have that luxury right now, and I didn't use that much. if you have a true, now you can use that if your teeth are somewhat white. If you are like, we have a color chart. If you're like on this color scale and you're not too yellow, now if you're this yellow, charcoal is not going to get the yellow out. So you need a product like peroxide that's going to get the yellow out. And this is what I use in the office when I whiten my client's smile in 1 hour. This is a home version of it. So we give you the same technology that I use in the office. So I have a kit with the blue light in the tray. I have the hydrogen peroxide, this dental office strength, and you can just load the tray, and then bite and wear it for 15 minutes once a day. And this will actually get the yellow out. Charcoal, not so much, but this is what will actually get the yellow out. And you do this once a day for 15 minutes for 5 to 10 days, depending how dark you are on the color scale. Hopefully you're not, you know, all the way over here. So yeah. The darker your teeth are, the longer you have to whiten to get the yellow out.
So now, do you sell this at your store as well?
Yeah, I have this on the store.
How much does the whitener cost in your store?
$47, but you guys get 25% off with Black History Month discount code.
Okay.
Cha-ching.
All right, doctor. Hey,
I see my people is in the building.
What's going on, peoples? Dr. Patricia, I think I even may go on there and order a few things, okay?
Yes. Come on now.
Like, I need to start to do my brushing more frequently. I do have an electric toothbrush, but it doesn't ding every time I need to switch. I need to definitely invest in that water pick.
Baby, I'm telling you, it's a game changer.
Okay.
It's a game changer. So I saw the audience. Basically, they want me to get I need to add a water pick to my store, and I need to order to get the tongue scrapers on my store.
Definitely. Definitely. Okay.
All right, we're going to add, you know, when you have a product line every year, you got to add, you know, new stuff. So that's going to be the 2021 joint. If y'all say, don't have me get this stuff and y'all don't order it.
Okay. Oh, but the tongue scrapers, I feel like if you could get the same exact ones that you just showed us, I would.
Oh, yeah.
Now, how often do you change your tongue scrapers? How often do you change your toothbrush? Or how often do you change everything?
Change your toothbrush every season, every 3 months. So every winter, spring, summer, fall.
I buy that Sonic toothbrush every 3 months?
No, you're going to. You're gonna what did I do with it? You are going to just change the head. The head comes off. And that's the thing, guys. I'm glad you said that. You can buy, say you have a family, you could buy one toothbrush and buy heads. And then you can use, everybody can interchange and use just one toothbrush. But if you want to,
always know how to make it work.
Come on now, I'm just trying to tell you. Yep. Miso Blessing, she loves her water pick. Yep. So you just change the head every 3 months. You need to go to the dentist every 6 months. You need to change your toothbrush every 2 months, every 3 months, sorry. And then your water pick, that's nothing that you have to change out on that. You just use it until it breaks down. Let's see. And the tongue scraper, you're going to need to probably change that sooner than 3 months. You can see mine was used. It was almost broke down. So, you know, you get as much use as plastic, so it may not last. But you count on 3 months.
I bought like an actual tongue scraper that has like a handle. So I actually have that over there, but I do not. That electric water pick sounds like everything.
Heaven.
That really got me because I'm like, I ain't even never heard of that. But I'm going to definitely hit you up offline about which company I'm going to go with to get my teeth straightened.
And yes.
Blog the experience too. Journey, but let's go back into you real quick because you just did such a beautiful demonstration. Clap it up for Dr. Catrice, everybody.
This is what I love to do, and I go live every Wednesday night at 10 p.m. Okay. The answer is called Ask Dr. Austin. So if you guys have questions, you ever have questions, I'm live every Wednesday.
Okay, well, you know, definitely I'll be tuning into your live on Wednesdays. I got a few questions already.
Yes,
So now let's kind of bring it back real quick. What is your true purpose with dentistry? Like, just bring it, close it out for us with just what it is that feels like, yo, this is what it is for me. And why it is that you choose to go the extra mile. Because most dentists just have their practice and that's just what it is. And they do the general, the regular promotion. But you go an extra step and you do it extra with extra love and with just the extra promotion. You do extra with it. Why do you?
Thank you. So, you know, I'm fortunate because I'm literally living my dreams. And it was from the beginning, like I said, my life was transformed with dentistry. And so now when I go to the office every day, I'm waking up, and particularly now I'm doing cosmetic dentistry and I'm transforming smiles with porcelain veneers, which happens pretty quickly. Now with cosmetic dentistry, I'm literally changing someone's life in like a week or 2 weeks. Like, you don't even have to wait like I did a whole year. I can transform someone's life and their self-esteem and give them the ability to no longer feel held back in their social life, their love life, their career. Like, some people, you have no idea the letters that I get from people who don't smile, who have, you know, can't go outside because they don't feel confident. There's so many things, you know, that people feel bad about. Domestic violence. They have a spouse that, you know, hit them upside the head and now they can't smile. So I get all these letters, and I know by being on here and sharing the information that I get to change people's lives, and the work that I do, they come to me with a vision of how they want to look. And I know, like, when I'm starting to smile and that second day when I'm giving them that smile, I know how their life is going to just completely be different. And that's why I'm on here. And some people ask me, like, what was it like working with Cardi? It was great that she wasn't even the big star that she was when I started working with her. And it's cool and beautiful that she became a megastar. But the thing that I like most with Cardi is that I transformed her whole image. I transformed her life. I know because of her smile transformation, she is able to be on the red carpet, to go to the Met Gala, to do these million-dollar videos and all the things that she's doing because of the transformation. And most importantly, she has inspired so many people to want to change their smile, to know that there's options. And that smile makeover was almost 5 years ago. I still get people who come to me who seek me out because of that smile transformation. So, and it's regular people, it's not even celebrities. So to reach the everyday hardworking people like you guys on here, to know that I can transform you guys is like priceless. So when I wake up and it's like a work day, when I'm going to work, I'm like, yeah, I'm about to rock the smile out. I'm about to kill it. So that's what it is for me.
Yes, Royal Maynard said powerful transformation.
Thank you, Royal.
Smile was beautiful. Is beautiful. You did such a great job with that. Like, talk to us real quick on that to close it out, man, on what it does cost to have a smile like Cardi B. What does veneers, you know, is it pricey? Is it worth it? Does it last? Do you have to get them redone? Because a lot of people don't know what it takes to have veneers. You either get braces, Invisalign, but veneers is like the next level, the big boy boss up, right?
Yeah, so, yeah. It's because it's cosmetic, unfortunately, it's not covered by insurance. And for you guys, everybody's price is different, but the average cost of a veneer, and this is what a veneer looks like for those of you who have, Natalie said, priceless, that is correct. This is a veneer. It's a thin shell of porcelain. Oh, let me get a good grip. This is what all the people are going crazy over. It's just this thin. It's a custom-made shell of porcelain. You get to choose the color, you get to choose the shape, and how many you need will be determined based on your smile. Now I will take a look at your smiles for free. If you go to my Instagram, you'll see a couple steps. Step one, you can download a free pre-smile makeover workbook that will take you through some questions that you need to go over before you book a consultation. But step two, in my bio, you can actually fill out your information and send me photos of your teeth. And I will let you guys know if you're a candidate for cosmetic dentistry with porcelain veneers or not. The average cost of these custom-made babies will range anywhere.